I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore Ravens win 30-16 over the Chicago Bears yesterday at M&T Bank Stadium, ending the Ravens' four-game losing streak and also ending the Bears' four-game winning streak. The good, the bad, the ugly. Ed Norris, what's good?
The Indianapolis Colts, they have the best record in the NFL. And somehow, I don't know if it's really been noticed because I don't hear many people talking about it nationally. They may mention it, but they're 7-1 right now. They did what they should do. What good teams do is they beat the teams they're supposed to. They walloped the Titans yesterday, 38-14. Jonathan Taylor's having an MVP season. He went for 153 yards, just 13 yards a carry, two touchdowns, 80-yard run. Daniel Jones is playing well. Daniel Jones, 21 to 29, 272 yards, almost 10 yards an attempt, three touchdowns in the air, 136 score passer rating yesterday. It's a good football team. I mean, you know, in the beginning, I think some of us, me, thought it was just a fluke. Okay, having a couple of good games and, you know, whatever, early in the season. Not early in the season anymore.
He's got you in the front row, real quick.
Yes, sir.
I did too.
What?
I thought it was a fluke. Yeah, I did.
Hey, I called Indiana Jones comeback player of the year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I thought it was a fluke.
Until Aiden Hutchinson wins it.
I thought Jeremy was being foolish again. You know, like when he said, what pitcher would win the Cy Young for the Orioles?
How are you going to throw my man just off to the side? Yeah. That's
lefty.
Yeah, that guy.
Every year you hit him as the Cy Young award.
Cole Irvin. I kept going, Cade.
I thought that was Cole Irvin.
Tyler Huntley.
Mike Preston was bad.
Bad. Why do they keep paying these football coaches, college football coaches? I mean.
Oh, this is a good one.
Brian Kelly gets canned. Okay.
And, I couldn't be happier.
And he was a phony, you know, and they lose 49-25 to Texas A&M. He's 34-14 since they brought him from Notre Dame in 2021. But he walks away with $53 million.
Down. Does he get to keep his Cajun accent he found when he went down there?
Oh, did you remember that video? When he came out there and he started talking like he was from the South. And it was so phony.
You know, Ed Ogeron.
I liked him dancing with the recruits like, hey, these are thumbs up and gun fingers.
when he did the 360.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny. Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to have a better chance to win the national championship. And since he's left Notre Dame, they have a better chance of winning.
He sucks. Could you imagine it? I know everybody says this. I'd love to have that happen to me. They said you're so bad, we'd like to give you $54 million to go away.
To go away, yes, to leave.
My buddy did like that to his wife.
He gave her 54?
He gave her a couple mil just to go. Other than Jeremy, other than the Pittsburgh Steelers uniforms last night, what was ugly?
Oh, man, this one, there's a lot to choose from because there was a lot of blowouts, but we all have to admit, the ugliest thing we saw this weekend was the Falcons at home. Like, you're playing the Dolphins, who everyone said's dead in the water. As we talked about, old Pink Eye over there, or whatever the hell happened to Tua, somebody farted on his pillow. I don't know what kind of games he's into. Maybe some of the same things Ed's into. But, you know, like...
strip clubs in Miami.
Oh, sorry, you caught a stray. But no, like, you're looking at it, and he come out, and... sure enough, like I've talked about this in Daily Fantasy, everybody's like, Bijan Robinson is in a smash spot. Did you see what Quinshon Judkins did to them? He had three touchdowns and he does nothing. And Kirk Cousins comes out and it's not like he was awful, but he was terrible. He sucked. He didn't do anything to help him win, but he definitely didn't do anything to make him lose. They just stunk up the joint. And I remember before the game, they're going, you know, this Falcons team has the best pass defense in football. No, they don't. Stop it. It's who they played. This is just ridiculous, man. They scored 10 points against a Dolphins team that let the Browns run roughshod over them.
Yeah.
They should be embarrassed.
410-583-1057 is the number. I'm a little bit disappointed in Trippy this morning.
Hello?
Trippy had a very good – I'm not going to share it because maybe he'll call him tomorrow and say it. He had a good story, video to it and everything, And he didn't even talk about it when he called.
Was it like one of Rashawn's videos?
No, it was a good one. This is a legit good video. A conversation with a coach.
Yeah.
On the outside. He just didn't share. I mean, come on, man. That's an epic failure on your part. I was waiting for it. He said, all right, see y'all later. Huh?
So there were no fat, naked white chicks in this video?
Fight what?
Fat, naked white chicks.
Oh, I didn't.
That's like the Rashawn video.
I know what you heard. I heard it too.
Woo! You guys got to tell me what you heard because now I'm intrigued.
Oh, no,
what did I say?
I can't say it.
I'm gonna leave it alone. Yeah. Mike and I can, but he can't.
Fat naked white chick.
Let's go to Alonzo in Baltimore. I'm on Hailthorpe. What's up, Alonzo?
Hey, man. I really appreciate the show. First of all, I agree with Mike Preston. C plus. I pretty much like what Nate Wiggins did. Like to see that again. And y'all some funny dudes, too.
Man, you can't be coming with that bass in your voice making me feel all effeminate right now.
Hey.
That Barry White stuff going on.
Hey, hello.
Yeah. Baby.
Can't you see? Honey, please.
I get it, though. I get it. But I listen to the app and I'm in my bed.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm not listening to car radio. It's only my second time calling because I enjoy other people's perspectives.
Nah, I appreciate that, Alonzo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel threatened when someone comes in with a voice like that, with that much bass, like they're going to move my ass out.
Girls all those nights.
They're going to move your ass somewhere.
Baby, I knew you ran out on me. I just didn't care.
Till they make you love me.
when that song first came out, I listened to the line, I'm thinking, does he know what he's saying? he doesn't care.
End of the road? You at the end of your rope. Man, what the hell's wrong with you?
410-583-1057 is the number. You know what I hate, though? Monday Morning Quarterback, I love the show. But one thing I hate about this show is we saw what we saw on Saturday night from Yamamoto. We can't talk about it.
Yeah. We can't talk. The Orioles hired a manager.
We can't talk about it.
I mean, we can touch on it.
Man.
Yamamoto was
filthy. Two games, his first two complete games of his career are in the postseason.
Like, the Blue Jays weren't bad in that game.
No, they weren't.
And then he came out and said, man, that's cool. Y'all thought y'all was going to come in and go up 2-0? Nah, that ain't happening. Here's nine innings of nothing.
Nothing. One run, four hits, eight strikeouts, no walks. This dude, the last two outings, 18 innings. That's just, this doesn't happen in
baseball. I like runs tonight. I think there's a lot of runs scored.
You think so?
Yep.
Who wins?
The Dodgers are minus 220, so I'd sit here and tell you that I would lean Dodgers, but I do think the Blue Jays get the glass now. And I definitely think the Dodgers are getting the Scherzer. People are looking at their ERAs going, look at how good they are. Yeah, with one game. Like, come on, man.
So you're saying the last time Max Scherzer was screaming, go back to the dugout. And tonight he's screaming, come get me.
Flip those lights. Come on, get me off stage right now. I'm looking at the numbers. When's the last time Max Scherzer, what do you think his strikeout prop was? This was one of the best strikeout pitchers in all
Five.
Of baseball. 3.5.
Tonight?
Yes.
Really?
Here's his prop.
So I don't expect him to pitch long then.
No, his That's prop. What it says. So his prop is at 4.5. The algorithm, take a sip. The algorithm that I use, take two, that it has him projected for 3.5, and it's been projecting starting pitchers, even the Gausman-Yamamoto game where they both pitched deep in the game, projecting them to go under those because they're pulling the starting pitchers all the time.
Yeah, all this great baseball, it's a shame we can't talk about it at all. More fan reaction at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, we can help game balls up next.
Yamamoto gets mine.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Giving out game balls right now, 410-583-1057. Ed Norris, we'll get you a game ball, man.
Tyler Huntley, Mike may have given him a C, C plus, but I think he did exactly what you're supposed to do in that role. And for that reason, I think he deserves some recognition. He led the team to a win. He actually was very efficient in his passing game. He ran the ball well. I mean, it's just, I think it's, obviously people are. Remember they used to actually say he should be starting over Lamar a couple of years ago? It was ridiculous.
Somebody said it after this weekend.
Did they really?
Literally, some guy said, just stop, please. I didn't even have to respond.
Well, after you trade Lamar, you have to.
Yeah, I mean, let's just stop. But, I mean, he had 186 yards in the air, 53 on the ground. I just think he kept the team, exactly what he should have done.
I can't
he led them to a victory, and they ended up winning the game with him at the helm.
I can't believe you gave a game ball to a C player, though.
Yeah. Well, since the entire team was a C, I didn't have much choice.
Oh, well, that's where I was going with my game ball, too. We got to get his money.
He got a plus.
He got a plus, that's right.
Did you want to follow up with he didn't hear about Lamar getting traded?
Yeah, Lamar getting traded.
Would I trade him?
Yeah.
I would throw that out there after the season's over and say, let's see what we can get for him.
What do you think
and
you can get
if,
for him?
If I don't know. I don't know, but that's what I would throw out because he's in his eighth year. He's kind of slowed down a little bit. I don't know if that's from the hamstring or from whatever, but I would throw it out there. And he's in a contract, and they're talking about giving a contract extension at the same time. I would explore it, sure.
Would you have to extend him before you traded him, though? Because if you trade him, you're trading that $73 million.
No, because whoever trades him is going to take that and then extend him and then spread that out.
Okay.
They'll still have to be able to, I think, take that cap hit and then extend it. But to your point, like what Mike's saying is going to sound insane to fans of the Ravens. Like, why? Yeah, this great quarterback, one of the greatest of all time, and you want to trade him. But as you start to look at some of these guys get older and seeing what's out there, because now you got to pay him even more money if that extension is going to happen. So, look, do I think that happens? No, because you would get killed if you did it. Unless it worked out.
Yeah, I would be in that line to kill you. Mm-hmm. Who gets your game ball, Jeremy?
Just another C player. Nate Wiggins. Nate Wiggins, I just thought he had one of the biggest plays in the game. After they didn't go for that field goal, they punted it down. You pin him back. You get what you want. You get a turnover down there, and it turns into points. So, Nate Wiggins. And even, like, watching him on the first two drives, I thought Rome was eating his lunch. And I'm like, this can't be today. And it ended after that.
He put up good numbers early.
Yes. There was a ton that he put up early. I just thought he played his ass off, especially in the second half.
I'm giving my game ball to defensive coordinator Zach Orr. Listen, you can't be ready to burn a guy at the cross when things go wrong and then ignore when you come out and things go right. You can't do that. I mean, he gave up Ben the don't break early, gave up two field goals, ultimately only gave up 10 points in the fourth quarter, which I don't like. But 16 points against the Chicago Bears football team that had been scoring pretty decent. I got to give it to him. You don't have a pass rush. That's not his fault. But I thought the scheme was very good, even if it was just the Bears. I thought the scheme was very good. Mike Preston, who gets your game ball?
Kyle Hamilton, 8 tackles, played up near the line of scrimmage, and sometimes as an outside linebacker. I don't know if he can hold up for the entire year, but did very well. Got a hit on the quarterback. You can bring him when you want to. Does a lot of different things for this defense. So keep an eye on him, but I think he's a good player.
And you said something earlier that I didn't think about. You questioned whether or not he can hold up all year playing at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that because he has a safety body. He's not – I remember David Fulcher and all those guys. They were bigger safeties. They were like linebackers
are now. Yeah, they were big boys.
Yeah, where linebackers are now. Kyle Hamilton's not that guy. He's a lean muscle type.
Yeah. And he's already had some injuries throughout his career. You know, early to kind of miss a game, two games. And he's not always 100%, even though he will play and give it all he has.
Mm-hmm.
But you just got to wonder, can he stay near the line of scrimmage for the rest of the season and do that? I don't know.
be interesting to see. He's added a lot to the defense, though. We knew when the Ravens made that trade with the Chargers, Ed, that he would come up and play that type of monster back situation for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and that's what everybody was hoping for. Just to free him up to do what he did. He played everything. He played safety. He played linebacker. He played slot. He played so many different roles yesterday.
He's the Wilson Bettman of the Ravens. I play third. I play third. I play left. I play any way you want me to play. Yeah. He play everywhere.
He can. He's a really talented guy. I have Lamar Jackson. He's like the most important player on the team. So
he's very versatile. Swiss Army knife, that guy. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed, anything surprise you about the Ravens' attack offensively or defensively yesterday?
Yeah. I was surprised they actually stuck to the running game. It was like 177 yards on the ground. Oh, wow, what a great idea. You've got a Hall of Fame running back, the best fullback in football. Let's run the ball today. And now you have a speed back who's been, I don't know, David Copperfield made him disappear at the beginning of the season. Now he's back, but you have Keaton Mitchell in the backfield.
They didn't have room for him.
I guess. I mean, you get Derrick Henry, you get Keaton Mitchell, you get Tyler Huntley, who can actually run. I mean,
the NFL gave him an extra roster spot to let him squeeze on.
Yeah. So they end up running for 5 yards and a carry yesterday, 177 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. I mean, I am being facetious, but I'm not. I'm just pleasantly surprised they stuck to the running game. Because they were trailing 6-0 at one point. That's usually when you hit the panic button. Uh-oh, we're behind. Let's start airing it out. But they did not, and they stuck to what they're good at. So,
Jeremy, anything surprise you about the attack yesterday, offensively or defensively?
I thought, like, again, at the end of the game, it's hard to complain about Derrick Henry getting 21 touches. He got in twice. There were times that I thought he should have been on the field even without those touches. It was nice to see Keaton Mitchell. But ultimately, I got to say, like, just watching the game, I'm still surprised at how often they throw on first down when they're ahead. And there's something to being aggressive. There's also something to going out and try to, like, look, they're expecting this. I feel like offensive coordinators in this league, the first thing that pops in their mind is they're expecting this, so I'm going to give them this. Mm-hmm. Or the little wrinkle where I throw a touchdown pass to my offensive lineman or, what, just getting cute when you don't have to get cute. And when it works out, nobody says squat. I'm watching that game yesterday going, I didn't like the play to Charlie Kohler. It went for a touchdown. It was a great play design.
But you didn't like it, though.
I didn't like it because of where they were at in the game and understanding that the clock was their friend.
I was surprised that Tyler Huntley was so efficient. I was. I just didn't. I'm not a Tyler Huntley fan, and I'm not going to sign up to his fan club after yesterday, but he was incredibly efficient yesterday. I think Ed said it best. He did what you needed him to do.
You know the other thing I'm surprised about? Mm-mm. Lamar practiced in full, and he didn't play on Sunday. What happened?
I don't know about that. I don't know about anything surprised you?
The public relations turned in the wrong stuff.
They turned in the wrong scorecard.
Yeah.
They got DQ'd.
Anybody? Nah. I thought they played within their offense and what they needed to do, and they took some shots down the field, which I was glad to see, because especially when you don't have two starting cornerbacks in the game, challenge them. Go get them, and they did. So and they stuck with the run. Nah, it got their play action passing game going. They did exactly what they needed to do to win the game.
More fan reaction at 9:00. Can't wait for that. Want to hear from you. But on the other side, Coach's Corner, hear from John Harbaugh up next on the Fan. Baltimore Ravens win 30-16 over the Chicago Bears yesterday. But before the game, there's lots of talk about the Lamar Jackson injury situation. Many people thought on Friday he was a go. Saturday we found out that was not the case. John Harbaugh responded to the confusion.
Well, the status was pretty much the status all the way through. We were hoping, we weren't going to rule him out before we had to. I think at the end of the day, it just the conversations that were had, they just didn't feel like the 2 games in the 5 days would be the thing to do, So that comes back to us. And when you hear that as a coach, that's what you do. So with him not practicing, with the first offense throughout the week, it's just getting Tyler ready to go, and we're going to go play football with Tyler. And if Lamar would have come back, I mean, if it could have happened, as a coach, I'd have put him in there. And Tyler, you'd understood that, right? That would have been the way it would have gone. But he didn't get to the point where I think they felt comfortable with that part of it. The other part of it, I'm not involved in those rules. I don't know those particular rules. So that's that was probably, I think, in their defense, he practiced a full practice. I think they felt like because he did the same number of reps, it was a full practice. But when you dig in and you read the rule, at the end of the day, it wasn't right. So that's what it was. That's why as soon as we found out, we changed it.
You said they. Who's they? Who makes that?
Yeah, that's in the training room and the PR and the other side. It's not in the football side.
John, do you expect
the medical side?
John, do you expect
the ball? But it's an honest mistake. I mean, it really is an honest mistake. I can tell you this. Nobody's trying to hide anything. I mean, there's no advantage. There's no advantage to be gained with that. I mean, it was he practiced. His status was what it was. He was questionable. I do think if we'd have had the old status, maybe they would have said doubtful. Maybe. I don't know. But questionable or out. You know, we weren't going to say out because he wasn't out, you know, until Saturday out. When that conversation was had on the medical side.
He said there was no advantage to that. They literally told you that they prepared for him the entire time. Now, they were happy as hell that it wasn't him because that's one of one when you talk about Lamar. The Bears, this is. They talked about they were preparing for it. There is an advantage. Why do you skirt the issue over what injuries are on the injury report? Why did you have more padded practices? Did you not know the rules there? Why did you have rookies coming in? Did you not know the rules there? I mean, I'm not buying this, that this was by accident.
Yeah, and they know the rules. You mean to tell me Eric DaCosta, who's been in the league, Ozzie Newsome, none of those guys don't know the rules? John Harbaugh, you've been a coach for whenever. You didn't know the rules? And then to say, oh, he only gets a couple days of practice. Well, he's only going to get one day of practice before he goes down to Miami. All right, it all doesn't make sense. I mean, they got an advantage. They did what they had to do, and they won. That was the blessing and so forth. But
I love the fact that he said it was the medical team, the PR, the training staff, PR. But then he backed down and said, well, it was an honest mistake, so he wouldn't get in too much trouble with those two departments. It's an honest mistake. It's not. I mean, if he's doubtful, then why is he practicing with the scout team?
How about that?
If he's doubtful, why would you risk him being out there practicing with the scout team?
I was shocked when I heard that, actually. There's actually
and I was hoping those reports scout
team. I was like, what?
I was hoping those reports were wrong. Yeah. You know, I was hoping that, like, that didn't happen. And then everybody started doubling down on it, like, whoa. And that's
for the people wondering why this is such an important issue, and I know they're going to scoff and roll their eyes at it, but it has to do with the gambling side of things.
No question.
They set a line at 6.5. That line been up all week. You could have taken the Bears plus that 6.5, the Ravens minus 6, whatever it was. It's messing with their business, and their business is money. And when you're putting out stuff later, inaccurate, that's why they're so hard on these teams when the injury reports are wrong or when you're trying to circumvent it. That's why it makes me wonder, what are they going to do now with what the Clippers tried to do with Kawhi? What's their punishment going to be like? Because now you're circumventing all these things that are important to the competitive nature of the game and also for your gambling side of it. Like in the NBA, they change the rules and they're not as perfect at it. You have to have your starting lineup a half an hour out before the game. Why? Why do we need to know who the starters are in the NBA? For the gamblers. That's why.
Now, if you all don't believe this is important, the NFL this year is estimated, NFL betting is estimated to reach a high of $30 billion this year. That's up 8.5% from last year. Keep in mind, this whole deal with NFL Network, NFL is now in bed with ESPN. You guys remember that?
Yep.
What does ESPN have?
Their own betting network.
ESPN Bet.
Yeah. To which they took it down during the basketball stuff while it was on TV.
The NFL will directly profit from sports gambling. Directly from it. So this is serious stuff, man. You can't manipulate this thing. The last I checked, local law enforcement wasn't involved in the betting probe with the NBA. It was the FBI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The alphabet's involved. When the feds are involved, that ain't good. You're going to be convicted of something.
100%.
Either by trial or by plea.
You're not going to trial.
You're going to be convicted of something. They I got you. They got you.
Once you're accused in the federal system, you're getting sentenced. Because you can't win. You can't win.
410-583-1057, that's the number. John Harbaugh talked about his team fighting through adversity.
That's a good question. I appreciate it. Like, it really wasn't – it was challenging because, you know, because we just – you don't win – you haven't won games, and you want to win games. And we understand we're fighting. I was proud of the guys when we didn't win the games. Our guys fought like crazy against the Texans, the guys that were out there. And they fought like crazy against the Rams, and we turned the ball over. You know, we didn't make the plays we needed to make, get the stops we needed to make. But they're fighting and they're competing. So it wasn't hard in the sense of all the outside noise. That wasn't relevant at all. I mean, anything that was said that's anonymously is like, it doesn't, it's like, it's not even, it's just noise. It's not even a real statement. It's not a real quote. If someone doesn't, if there's no name to it, it doesn't exist the way we look at it. You're talking about the game stuff? The game stuff was like a month ago. Nobody cared about that. And like I said, which the people that wrote it already know. They already know what came from the leadership players, but they haven't reported that yet. But that's where it came from. It came from the leadership players. It was a player's decision to do that. So that was nothing. I was kind of proud of it. When I heard about it like 2 weeks after it happened, I was like, good, great, cool. I haven't been in the locker room. I don't spend time in the locker room. So that's all nothing. That's nothing. What matters is a team that sticks together and fights. Even when the division, when you try, you know, when the outside tries to divide you, that's okay. You got to stick together and you got to be a family. We're going to have our we're going to have our hands full on Thursday night against the Miami Dolphins down in Miami. And that's what we're going to be thinking about. Not going to be worried about some silly story that gets written, you know, by unserious type of a report. We're not going to worry about that. We're going to worry about taking care of our business as best we can and sticking together. You guys agree with that? That's what we're going to contend with. All right, thanks a lot.
Hey, can I go back to the beginning?
Yeah.
Our players fought hard during the Texans game.
No, they didn't.
I guarantee you that wasn't his post-game speech. No. I guarantee he didn't say, guys, you know, I'm cool with this. We fought like hell.
After the game?
They got crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They tapped out.
Yes. Yes.
Say wait till next week.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't trying to hear that. Come on, man. Come on. And I love when people start talking outside noise. Wait a minute. We didn't break into the locker room and move games. That's inside. Someone inside moved these games. Now, you're right. The story was not accurate because they said the coaches did it and not the players. And I still don't understand why they didn't correct that story. But at the same time, you know, there was some problems in the locker room or you would not have removed your games. You wouldn't have thought that was necessary. Players wouldn't have thought that was necessary. I got to think, Mike.
Well, I don't really care about games and them removing games. I care about blocking, tackling, execution, and coaching. That's where it's all won and lost and all this other stuff. You want your players to not get bored. You want to give them some kind of activity maybe. But the bottom line is what you do when you get out on the field. And when you're 1-5, everybody's going to be looking for things because that's just what, and especially the media, that's what we do. But I don't care about the other stuff. I just care about winning.
I want to look for things as well. I just don't want to make things up. Fan reaction at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, it's the AFC.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
North Report up next on The Fan.
Day comes down to this for the Bengals. 4th and 9. Flacco protected. Flacco's pass incomplete. And the Jets are going to do it here in Cincinnati. Yoshibas, the intended target. Jarvis Brownlee was right there for the Jets. And once again, this Cincinnati crowd stunned.
Courtesy of CBS Sports. Jets go on to get their first win of the year against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I'm so glad the AFC North sucks this year because that gives the Ravens a chance.
Yes, it
at
does.
2-5.
It's kind of it's hard to believe, but yes, at 2-5, they're absolutely still in it. It's the only division in football where nobody has a positive point differential. Nobody. One team over 500, barely. Nobody with positive point differential. Ravens are absolutely in the mix. So you can actually have hope here with a 2-5 record.
The Bengals the Browns and the Steelers all lose on a week which the Ravens win, Jeremy, we thought just winning the game kind of gives you new life. Well, not only did that happen, all three of those teams in front of you lost.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's always a bonus. Anytime you're talking about...
Bonus ham?
What? The bonus?
The bonus. The bonus ham?
Hamless. Ham. Boneless? Ham? Hamless? Bonus. No, I was trying to look up the numbers. Do you guys want to know who's favored to win the AFC North currently today?
Ravens.
Ravens are minus 105. The Steelers are plus 175.
Really?
That's a huge disparity in the grand scheme of you have two wins. You have two wins and you don't have two wins and it's week three. You have two wins and we're...
See, here's my issue, though. Here's my issue.
Man.
Mike. Okay, the Ravens going to get punched in the mouth for this whole injury thing. We know that. Get punched in the mouth. But the fact that Lamar Jackson hadn't played in a month, and Vegas is saying the favorite to win, and they're right next to last place. It almost gives it a WWE kind of look that, like, we know he's coming back Thursday. Like, we know it already. It's almost like you notice, because you're not giving the Ravens, you're not making them favorite winning the AFC North because Tyler Huntley's your quarterback. You're giving them that because Lamar Jackson's going to start the last 10 games of the year, you think.
And also because the AFC North is not a very good division. I mean, you just look at the breakdown and look at who are the starting quarterbacks for these teams. Joe Flacco scored 38 points, and they still lost to the Jets. Cleveland, they got a rookie. It's just not a good division. You know, Aaron Rodgers is 50 years old and playing quarterback. I mean, that's just the way it shapes up. And the Ravens are playing some really bad teams coming up. I mean, you can say whatever you want. They're atrocious. But that's the National Football League. There's only like, okay, let's go around the room. How many good teams are there in the National Football League?
Good teams?
Good teams. I mean, that you would consider maybe five, six.
I think the...
I'm here on all the divisions. So, like, would you say Bills, Patriots?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Colts?
Yeah. No, they're okay.
Kansas City, Denver, L.A.?
I'll give Kansas City yes, because they've been there before.
Okay. Philadelphia?
Yes.
Green Bay, Detroit. I'm putting those two up top. Green Bay right now is in front.
I think Detroit's good. Especially when they're home. I mean, Detroit. I meant Detroit.
So here's the caveat. Do you think Tampa's good? And if you don't, they're going to win their division, so they're going to be in the playoffs.
I tell you what I saw. I saw the old Baker Mayfield in Cleveland the last time they played, where I was just like, oh, my.
You mean on Monday night?
Yeah, I was like, man, he looks like the old Baker Mayfield that I've seen before.
The doubleheader on Monday.
You're right.
Didn't they lose to Seattle then? Or
you're right.
No, that was Houston lost to Seattle. Who did they play? Lions, thank you.
Yeah, but he looked like the Baker Mayfield in Cleveland.
But that's my thing with the Lions at home. They make everybody look bad.
You know, but still, I mean, they are the Lions. They're playing well, but there's only five or six good teams in those.
But there's no great teams, right? There's no team you go, oh, my God, I don't want to play them.
When I look at Kansas City, I think they're really good.
Yep.
And I think they got their weapons back. But and I think Spagnuolo comes up with some good stuff to stymie.
I'm trying to, like... Things. Because I'm not trying to crap on the Chiefs, but like when I think about the great teams, we knew the great Chiefs teams. They got healthy. They have explosive players now. But I was telling you guys, like, what happened to Travis Kelce? Did Swift just take all of his powers?
Yeah, but they got Worthy. They got Rice. They got other weapons besides Travis Kelce. And even
those are the only
even,
two explosive even, players.
Even,
they
even
have.
Hollywood Brown is starting to play.
Yeah, he's playing well. He's playing well.
So they're loaded.
His prop tonight is 1.5 receptions.
I'll say this, though. I mean, with Kelce, you know, naturally Taylor Swift's going to get all the blame. The man's old.
Yeah.
He's getting old.
It happens to everybody.
Exactly. It's the timing is perfect because of Taylor Swift, but he's getting old.
Right. It happens. That's the bottom line, too.
You want to blame her? Fine. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. You know, Ravens, AFC North, it's very winnable, even at 2-5. It's winnable to where they have, five of the six remaining games in the division still left.
Yeah. One against the Browns, two against the other two. But so it's good for this time. It's like, yeah, good. Good, because, you know, your fate is in your own hands.
Yep.
So when it's in your own hands, it's much better relying on somebody else to do your work for you.
Yeah, we got to worry about what this team does and what that team does. They don't have to worry about that. We have you in front of us. Yeah,
and, then, you know, the Bengals are going to score a lot of points, but they can't stop anybody.
No.
No one.
And the Ravens are capable of scoring a lot of points.
Right.
They can get into that. They can maul you, or they can play arena football. And they'll normally, when those two teams get together recently, it's arena football.
Yeah.
Ravens and the Bengals.
I think that's good. Like, again, I don't want to buy into what I saw from the defense this week and say they're fixed. And one of the things that Mike and I talked, I think you guys were out of the studio, was like, when do we know if they're actually good or not? And does it matter to people? Because, like, you're going to be playing bad teams all along the way. And there is that chance that, like, you play your next six games against inferior opponents and you're riding high and you're feeling good. And then it's like you face a good team and go, oh, so we weren't as good.
December 21st.
So I'm saying it's a ways away.
That's when we know whether they're good or not, because they don't have to be that good against the Dolphins, the Vikings, the Browns, the Jets, the Bengals. The Ravens can outscore the Bengals and the Steelers, the Bengals again. When they face the Patriots and the Packers, those two games combined will be testing the metal. That's why it was so important for them to win yesterday. They got to go 9-2. They got to go 9-2. So they can afford to win all the way up to those two games and lose and close out the season with a win against the Steelers. I'm not saying they'll lose both of them,
right?
But yesterday gives them more wiggle room, Mike.
Right. And even the Bears, when you talk to their beat writers, all they kept saying was, hey, they're decent, but they're not good.
Yeah.
They could still lose by 10 points to the Ravens. I'm like, huh?
And that's with after finding out Lamar wasn't playing.
Right. And then they were still saying that. I'm like, oh, they must be pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then when I watched them play, I'm like, they're okay. Well, but more they're not there yet.
Not a lot of good teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
We go around the league and pick out MVPs at 9:15. But on the other side, we want to hear from you. Fan reaction, 410-583-1057. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show, Monday Morning Quarterback on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.